June is Service Month in CEA How. Today's workshop is called Digging Deeper into the Sixth Tool being service. We have six speakers here today. Each person will be speaking on a particular aspect of the sixth tool. The topics include service at the meeting, intergroup, area, world service levels, as well as service at our global convention. There will be time for questions and comments at the end of today's workshop. So before our speakers begin, I want to speak briefly about APSNIP, the greatest service to ourselves and part of the first tool of CEA How. We are going to be focusing on the sixth tool. But with abstinence, we put down our addictive substance and behaviors around food and eating, and that allows us to see the triggers that activate our addiction and then develop alternative responses rather than reactions to those triggering situations. With sustained abstinence a day at a time, we become increasingly available to learn and grow and connect and surrender to a power greater than ourselves, and then to share our gifts with others by being of service. Our first speaker is Anna R., who will be speaking about service at the meeting level. Thank you, Anna.
Good morning, everybody. Anna R., compulsive eater. That happened quick. Let me first say thank you, Susan, for giving me the opportunity to be of service, speaking of the sixth tool. And I'm here to share my experience, strengths, and hope at the meeting level, service at the meeting level. I want to start out by just reading the sixth tool, service. Service is abstinence, the greatest service to ourselves. Service is coming to meetings on time, being a leader or speaker, volunteering to be a service person, such as a program chairperson, coffee person, treasurer, secretary, literature person, intergroup representative, etc. Services see how putting away chairs when necessary, picking up after the meeting, being quiet when a member is sharing. Service is one way to get involved in the program. Service is needed at all levels and at every meeting. Service is giving of ourselves to help CEA How continue to function. Let's all get involved to help CEA How, because we all know that service is freedom from bondage of self. And that certainly has been my experience. To begin with, I walked through the doors of CEA How in November of 2005. That was back in the day. Back in the day when we had face-to-face meetings and there were chairs to put at the tables. There was coffee to be had. And so Ray Z knew the importance of service, and she was not shy about giving you a task. If you walked in, it wasn't unheard of that she would just say, "You are now the coffee person," or things like that. And that's because she knew. I mean, between her and Fred S., if it wasn't for their service, and really at the meeting level, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have had meetings. You know, Ray Z started at her meetings in her home. And so from there, when I first walked in, that was the last thing on my mind, is to be of service, because my favorite subject is me, 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 me. So I was there for me. And but Ray Z knew that she's probably saw that in me. And so I found my way to the first, it was like a boutique where we would trade clothes and go like that. So anyway, that wasn't the first time that happened to me. But I did realize that being of service at that level, I was making connections. And you go and you be a part of a group, you get there to the meeting early to set up or whatever, to meet people as they come in, to welcome them home, to meet the newcomers, to, because as a newcomer, you don't know anybody maybe, or you're just nervous, you're not sure you want to be there and things like that. And so us being there to welcome them in, that's part of the continue to function as a meeting. Because if we don't have newcomers, if we don't have people continuing to come back, we don't have meetings. lucky for me, I was able to be abstinent from the beginning. So I was able to do that. But as luck would have it, and I got too smart, I took it back and I was in relapse for 13 years. And so during those 13 years, you know, you can't speak or you can't do certain service positions that take 90 days or a month or whatever it is. So I found ways, I found the service positions that don't take any abstinence because I wanted to stay connected. That was doing the coffee. That was opening the door for the meeting. That was, making sure the readings were passed out. That was anything that you can think of to help the meeting continue to be. And that's what I did. When Zoom came to be, there was no abstinence for a Zoom host. And as luck would have it, I had a little bit of tech knowledge, and I was able to do that. And I did it for a very long time, for a few meetings. Again, making those connections at that level have now created such a beautiful, supportive network. I have these people to call, you know, like the top five people on my call list in my phone. When I'm at the market and I'm like feeling shaky, who I call, you know, person number one, you know, they walk me through the aisles or whatever it is. But you can only make those kind of connections if you get involved. Now, I am grateful for everything, even the relapses that I've had. I'm grateful to this program because this is the only program that has ever worked in my lifetime. I have been overweight and battling food addiction since I was 5 years old. I even had gastric bypass. This program gave me a life, is giving me a life, is teaching me how to live. And because I'm so grateful, you know, gratitude is an action. And this is how I show my gratitude back to the meetings, back to the people in the program, even at different levels. So in the meetings, it's so important. I mean, even the sixth tool says it's all about the meetings, right? Chairperson, coffee person, you know, whatever else it says there. But it's all about the meetings. And that's where we start. That's the root. And as we grow as individuals in our program and as individuals in our lives, we want to just, I don't want to say should, but me, myself, this is my experience. I felt an obligation to give back at the root. And, you know, I'm not a gardener, but I'm sure that feeding the roots of any plant or any, you know, living thing helps the overall growth, right? We get the blooms at the top. We get the beautiful new leaves, green leaves. And all of us really benefit from everybody else's input as far as service. You know, today, maybe someone is going to share out of service something that you really needed to hear or that's going to make sense for something that maybe you are struggling with in program. That's the kind of service that we do within the meeting also, when we share, not just within the meeting, but before the meeting. Hey, how are you doing these days? After the meeting, hey, you want to go grab a coffee and talk about whatever? That's service at the meeting level. And I know I have 2 minutes and 33 seconds left, but that's all I've got for you all today. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Thank you so much, Anna. Well, next up is Megan, and she will be speaking about service at the intergroup level. Hello, Megan.
Hi, I'm Megan, compulsive eater. And to qualify, I have been in program 8 years and 4 months. I'm a Food Step inventory sponsor, and I'm currently chairing the Electronic English Intergroup, and I've been asked to speak on service at the intergroup level. I'd like to begin with a quote from the book Daily Reflections. The date is December 23rd. The three legacies: recovery, unity, service. In recovery, we become abstinent together. In unity, we work for the good of our steps and traditions. And through service, we give away freely what has been given to us. Inner groups provide a forum to bring members together, opportunities to share information, to discuss program and meeting related issues, they provide technical assistance, help distribute funds, produce workshops, provide opportunities for communication, and help and support for meetings. So being part of an inner group, which usually means being a rep for a meeting, a representative for an individual meeting, allows you to be a part of the inner group. In other words, be a voting member at an inner group meeting. Different inner groups have different meeting schedules. The EIE inner group meets 4 times a year, once a quarter. And we do things like last year, we put on a plant-based workshop, a plant-based eating in CEA How workshop. We also, like I said, offer whatever assistance we can to individual meetings, whether it's if they need to make a change on the website, if they need to publicize an event, whatever it is, we're there to help. But we can't do that if there's nobody to serve. Offering service as an intergroup rep is really important, and it's not hard work. You go to 4 meetings a year, and you usually send the agenda in advance so you can look it over. You see what we're going to talk about and what we're going to be doing at that meeting. I believe in service. I have served all of my adult life. It seemed like even when I was working full-time, I always volunteered doing something because I felt that it gave me more opportunities to meet people and to share my skills and talents. I'm visually impaired and I don't drive. And there are no face-to-face meetings near me anymore. We had one. Obviously, it closed down during the pandemic and we decided to keep it on Zoom. And ironically, when the pandemic started, I had been using Zoom in another organization that I volunteered for. So I became like one of the Zoom experts, which was rather ironic. I really didn't know what I was doing, but, you know, I would try to help. And through the inner group, through Zoom, really, I get to interact with people around the world because the electronic inner group was originally created to cover electronic meetings. This was when we still had a lot of face-to-face meetings. Now meetings can choose to stay with their geographic inner group or join ours. New meetings usually join ours, but we have meetings all over the world. I was at an EIE meeting yesterday in Sydney, Australia. That's where it's based. So I get to connect with people all over the world and share my recovery, my experience, strength, and hope, and hear theirs. And I get to use my knowledge and skills, my Zoom knowledge, my organizational skills, all of that I get to use just by being an intergroup. I was the secretary for the last 2 years, and now I felt like, okay, now that I know what's going on, I can be chair. And, you know, intergroups, we do face challenges because of, you know, not being geographically based so much anymore. But the point is, intergroups provide a necessary, I think, level between the meeting and WSO and the area. Like, we're part of Area 10. I don't actually know all of the other meetings in our area. I know it's, you know, it's all the electronic meetings. It's the phone bridge. So there's a lot of meetings to keep track of. I'm glad I don't have to keep track of that. But I do keep track of the meetings in our inner group and offer help where I can. Maybe a meeting needs support, so I try to get people to go to that meeting. Or maybe it's struggling figuring out its identity. What do they want to be? What kind of meeting do they want to be? All these things. And that's where service comes in. So I would encourage all of you, if you've never been an intergroup rep, next time the opportunity comes up, please consider it because it's a wonderful experience. You will learn so much about other meetings, how people do things differently. Like at one meeting, we talked about how do you do a third step ceremony via Zoom? And we had some great ideas for how to do it. So I too have 2 minutes left, but I really don't have much more to say except our 12th step says, carry the message. And that's one of the things that intergroups help do. Thank you very much, and I will pass.
Thank you, Megan. One of the things you kind of touched on without actually saying that it's in my mind is that we are offered opportunities to be a service. Often people will say meeting level, and that's as far as I'm going to go. But what we are offered in being a service at other levels is an opportunity to grow and to be challenged and to face our fears. And we're not alone. There are others that have come before us. There are others that are there and are there to hold our hands and encourage us. We're there to stumble and make mistakes. We are all volunteers. And that, you know, what a gift. What a gift to be able to step up and say, I don't know what I'm doing, or I'm nervous as all get out, and I'm just going to show up and be imperfect. And then stick around long enough that I start feeling more comfortable and can carry the message of being of service in this particular way to another person. And that's certainly been my experience. So thank you. All right. Moving on, Jude is now going to speak on being of service at the area level.
Welcome, everyone. It's so fabulous to see you all. My name is Jude. I'm just going to put you on gallery view so that I can still see everyone. My name is Jude, and I'm a compulsive eater, and I first came into CA How about 22 and a half years ago. And my abstinence currently is 15 years and 8 months and 4 weeks. So I'm verging on moving into the next month. Yes, and thank you for the opportunity of being of service today. You know, the voice of service came knocking on the door of my heart a long time ago. I was like, when I first came in to CA How, I slipped and slipped and slipped and slipped for about 5 months. But, you know, I had this deep desire to start a meeting. I was based in the UK, and as far as I knew, there were no other meetings there. So that knocking on the door of my heart happened. I phoned up Pamela in the office and I said, I want to start a meeting. I need to purchase literature, which I did. 6 years later, we had a meeting in the UK. And then it was 12 years before we set up an intergroup. And then setting up the area, we waited. When we set up the intergroup, we had enough stability in our really small fellowship to maintain the intergroup function. So we waited a little bit to see if that was going to maintain before we set up Area 7. And I think we set up within 18 months of setting up the intergroup. And so, yeah, so, you know, that little voice at the right at the beginning of stepping into CA How, when I had no idea of tradition one, that our common unity was of vital import, of primary importance, and that my abstinence depended on the unity of the fellowship. I had no idea of tradition five, that the primary purpose was to pass the message to the still suffering compulsive eater inside as well as outside of the rooms. So, you know, that I'm sure was higher power knocking on my door. And so setting up the area was interesting. And I'll speak of Area 7, but I'll have to speak of my service at Area 10, because it was Area 10 that was the fire that molded me. But first, let's look at the purpose of an area. So it states in the bylaws, the aim and primary purpose of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How is to assist those persons who acknowledge their problem of eating compulsively and to aid them in the process of recovery from that disease. So the purpose of the area is to established delegates who can go to the World Service, who can be the voice of the fellowship, and to provide that structure and support. It's also important, the area level, as was referred at intergroup level, that this is a link between intergroup and the group level and between WSO. And it's a two-way process. So I think it's really important to remember when we're looking at the structure of CA Howe from group to intergroup to area to WSO, to remember that this is not just a structure, an administrative structure that keeps the whole organization going and that floats literature back and forth and that floats information back and forth. But it's also, and this is as important, it's also a channel for the living voice of all members of this fellowship. And part of the role of the area, as I see it, is really to give support and skills to those people from the groups and the intergroups and who then become delegate, to provide them with the context and skills that can enable them within WSO to maintain a truly democratic organization. Now, when I look at my own recovery, I understand that, you know, I had no sense of self-responsibility. I was a creature of extremes. I was either top of the cook or I was absolutely in the ditch, and there was no in between. I had very little self-respect. In fact, I hated myself. A huge part of my recovery has been picking up the tools and learning the skills of how I can take responsibility for my life, how I can take responsibility for maintaining my abstinence. Now, the same is true, as I understand it, for really every individual from the intergroup level to the delegate level to the area level and WSO, of each of us taking responsibility. The person in the group is equally responsible for speaking up and out for what they want as a democratic and efficiently functioning fellowship. And I applaud anyone who speaks loudly. However, I had to discover when I was doing service in Area 10 and I was working as a secretary for several years there, you know, there were two levels of learning. The first level of learning was to discover that my defects of character would hit me in the face all of the time at area assemblies, and the Area 10 assembly was quite large, and quite often it was quite raucous in those days anyway. And so I had to recognize where I was trying to control and where I had to behave democratically, I had to behave courteously. But I also had to learn management skills. And I had to, you know, there were two, I remember one particular raucous meeting where we were discussing all the propositions that would go to WSO. It was really interesting. I really admired the person who had presented all these propositions, but they were not really very well thought out. So I had to use all my skills in assisting the chair in really supporting this person to see how to create a proposition. Now, this was before Susan created that fabulous way of what is the proposal about, what is the background, da, 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 what is the research. The other important thing that I learned of working at area level was about team support, working as a team, working with the chair, the vice chair, and the treasurer. And there was one particular thing that really has resonated with me. In my second year of working, my sister died, and I was in a complete meltdown about it. I was very short of money. I didn't have a laptop. I only had an iPad. And I just wanted to resign. I just wanted to let go. My chair and my treasurer refused to let me go, and they supported me through that whole period of bereavement. And I'm so grateful to them because they provided models of behavior. Thank you. Provided models of behavior for me of how to maintain a group and how to maintain a structure. On top of that, on a personal level, if they'd have let me go, I would have blamed myself. I would have been had no regard for myself. And as a consequence of that support and their understanding of the unity that was required, I stayed on for another couple of years and I learned a lot more skills, which I was then able to transfer to the creation of Area 7 with the support and work of the people who were within the UK and Europe. And I'm coming close to my time. And finally, I'd say, you know, these skills brought me, I'll come to conclusion, self-respect, confidence. It taught me healthier relationships. It taught me resilience. All of these things I need to maintain my abstinence. And more than that, these skills have radiated out from this part of my life into my personal life and into my professional life. So I am so, so deeply grateful for all the service that everyone has done on my paths before me at the same time as me and who will be doing it in the future. And thank you, Susan, for this workshop. Thank you, all the technicians and the translators. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jude.
Next up is Barbara D, and she will be talking about service as a delegate to the World Service Business Conference.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Susan, and everyone who's here, who's participating in your recovery. That is the greatest service. So my name is Barbara D. I am out of Atlanta, Georgia. I've been in CEA House since May 20th, 2006. I do have a recommitted abstinence of 10 years, 2 months, and 1 day. And this past year, and I'm a compulsive eater, first and foremost, this was my first year as a delegate. And just so very grateful. I did write a few notes so I can stay on track. So I may look at those at a glance. But really, the power of service in my recovery and in CEA How, it is extraordinary. I'm so grateful for all of the sponsors and a sponsor in particular who has done lots of service, continues to do a lot of service in CEA How, who always gave me that gentle but yet firm push and nudge to just take it to the next level. This year, working as a delegate, I am on two committees, the website committee, and I just got to say shout outs to the website committee, wonderful chair. I was the vice chair and all of the people who were a part of what, if any of you have had an opportunity to go to the CEA How website, you will see the fabulous, it was a lot of work. We didn't actually, of course, do the work. There was a consultant hired, but we had a lot of input into the solution, and that's what we do here in terms of service at this level and at every level. It's really about, I came here asking for help and I found a solution. And that's really what I see that we continue to do as service in service. We continue to find the solutions to those issues. In this case, with the website, I work with the Ed Website Committee and also the Education Committee, where we're looking at coming up with a pocket manual of something that we already have, but something at a glance. And so part of this, both of these service committees for me, what was really at the heart of my experience is that we focused on the newcomer. Out the gate, we were like, so what is the focus of this? We know what the issues are, but we've all come in here as newcomers, right? So we need help. So keeping the focus on the newcomer really has been, to me, the greatest service of being a part of both of these committees. I just also wanted to say, I've come to really see service. It's, we talk about the circle of life. Service is that continuous circle of receiving and giving. It is a deeper expression of the recovery that I really desire and strive for today. When I came in here, And actually, I was in another HOW program. I started in the 1996. It was all about dropping the weight. That was it. You know, how can I lose weight, release the weight, not continue to gain the weight? So, you know, service has continued to give me more life. I love the analogy, Anna, because I am a gardener. I'm not a master gardener, but I can glance outside my window right now. And when you talk about the seeds, I mean, I sowed the seeds. I've allowed, you know, and I can see the blooms. I have some native plants. I have echinacea. I have some marshmallow. I mean, it's amazing. That's really what I see as far as the service that I've been gifted to do in this program. You know, I started out in a very dark space coming into the rooms. And with the service that other people gifted me, you know, I was able to grow, to sprout, to bloom, and to be able to enjoy the benefits of being a person in recovery in CEA HOW. And for me, it's about giving that back. You know, we get to, folks in service, we're like that good soil, right? And then the seeds are the folks who are coming into the program, you know, the newcomers. And so we are able to give them, but of course we are all, as I heard, also responsible for our own abstinence, which is the greatest service. Let's see. So as I said, you know, other sponsors have been very beneficial to my recovery. And as I sponsor others and serve within the fellowship, you know, one of the things I've noticed is that the grip of perfectionism, as I heard earlier, and the all or nothing, it starts to loosen because no one comes in here. No one's asking no one asked me as a delegate other than having the required abstinence, you know, what's your skill level? You know, when we come in here to do this kind of work, to be a delegate, to be the voice of the meetings, you know, the inner groups. The thing that I want to be able to do is to represent the fellowship and the meetings, and then to bring that back. And that's the other part of being a delegate. We met like each of the groups. We met once a month, but we go back and we have actions that we get to do. And none of this is difficult. And as was said earlier, we're not alone. If we need help, there's help. There are other people who have been delegates before me, and hopefully there'll be other people that'll be delegates after me. Whatever we can give back to others who are in need of help, that's what this is all about. So no one's asking that we have this high level of skill. And certainly for me, the perfectionism usually keeps me stuck. So doing service has allowed me to get out of that grip of perfectionism, wanting to control, you know, check the ego at the door is what we do. And it's just wonderful working with other people who are on the same mission, who have the same focus. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is trying to just stay grounded in what the newcomer really needs with respect to clarity, consistency, connection, and the message. This is all part of being a part of someone else's journey. So being a delegate, the tools, again, I heard, you know, what we do here is we provide tools. I used to think like, wow, the folks who are on the literature committee, they are quite amazing. You know, we will never stop having questions because there's a committee of folks who sit down and write these introspective questions that continue to help our recovery. I mean, what would we do without these folks who do this? And again, no one's asking for a certain level of skill. It's just about the willingness to show up and to be there for other people, because all I used to want to do is show up for me. You know, again, I came into this program. It was about, I got an extra 100 pounds on my body that I want to release. You know, but now I get to release so many other things because of the service. I mean, the services are a big part of the promises and abundance that I get each day to live a healthier life from the inside out. It is quite amazing. So I know I'm down to 2 minutes. Let's see. I wrote also today being part of a larger community of fellows in recovery, you know, those who are committed to supporting, again, the newcomers, the group, the inner groups, the areas, the CEA HOW fellowship as a whole. I mean, it is one of the most outside of being a parent. It's been one of the most meaningful things in my life. I have met people from all around the world. I'm so excited about going for this second year in July to be amongst my fellow recovering compulsive eaters, to hear the new policy motions that are up for review, to be a part of the voting process, to come back to the area and to share with our area and our inner group what was voted on, what wasn't voted on, and to start a new year, because there's always more things to solve. There are more issues. I know money is always a big part of, you know, the fellowship, but there's so many other things that we need to be able to provide, to be able to have more delegates to come to these meetings so that we can hear the voice of the fellowship from everywhere. Let's see. And I'm just going to end with this. No one expects perfection. That's one. The only requirement is abstinence and the willingness to serve. That's it. We grow into the roles as we show up. Service is, it's a win-win. It strengthens the fellowship and it transforms us from the inside out. So if you're unsure, you know, my pitch is simply say yes to service. And you'll experience the gifts and promises of recovery, not just for others, but for yourself, too. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Barbara. If you would speak specifically about the experience at the business conference as a delegate, do you have kind of a thumbnail thought on how to describe that for someone who might be curious?
Yes. So, we have 3 days at the business. It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And for me, the first day we had orientation as a newcomer, as a new delegate. And then we meet and talk about the policies and we get an opportunity to. And then I signed up, of course, for certain committees. But when I got there, there was one that I wasn't on, but I got to sit on, like I said, two committees. I'm on the education committee and the website committee. And then we got to talk about the different policies that the agenda committee, because there's an agenda committee that has all of the policies that we get to discuss and to vote on as delegates. So it was a great opportunity to, of course, meet with all the other delegates and to be a part of a group of people that I am currently still working with. I don't know which committees I'll be on this year, but this past year I was, like I said, on the education and website committee. So a day in the life, it was a new experience. I didn't go in with any major expectations. I was like a clean slate, you know, absorbing and listening and trying to stay in tune with what the overall agenda was for those 2 days. So,
thank you. And I'll just add that as a delegate, when you're voting on policy motions and bylaw amendments, if there are any, you're voting with the fellowship as a whole in mind. And we may come in with beliefs about how we're going to vote, but we also remain open to hearing the arguments, because there's pros and cons once the motion or amendment is presented. And minds get changed. You know, when you're thinking about the fellowship as a whole and serving the fellowship, that can, you know, my opinion about what I would like may not be what serves the fellowship as a whole. Anyway,
thank you, Nance. And now, David M. is going to share his experience about serving at the World Service Board level. Thank you, David.
I'm David. I'm a compulsive eater. Thanks, Susan, for asking me to talk about service. It's a great topic, certainly, and especially the board and the executive officers. So thank you, Jude, for reading from the bylaws. I currently serve as the secretary of the board of directors and the bylaws chair. So bylaws are my thing. So this is the charge of the board of directors, and I will just read it. The board of directors of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous Howe Incorporated has but one purpose, that of serving the fellowship of See Howe. It is an agency created and designated by the fellowship to maintain services for those who are seeking, through See Howe, the means of arresting the disease of compulsive eating through the application to their own lives in whole or in part of the 12 steps, traditions, concepts of service, See Howe concept, and 7 tools, which constitute the recovery program upon which the fellowship is founded. The board of directors, herein after referred to as the board, claims no proprietary right in the recovery program of the 12 steps, traditions, concepts of service, etc., because as all spiritual truths, they may now be regarded as available to all mankind. However, because these 12 steps, traditions, concepts of service, See Howe concept, and 7 tools have proven to constitute an effective spiritual basis for life, which, if followed, arrests the disease, the board of directors asserts the negative right of preventing, so far as it may do so within its power to do so, any modification, alteration, or extension of these steps, traditions, concept, and 7 tools, except at the insistence of the fellowship of See Howe in keeping with these bylaws. So the board and the officers who assist the board are charged with serving the fellowship as a whole and to guard the program, to keep it close and whole as best as we can, and not to be somewhat conservative in clinging to it without really good reason. That's why there's all the rigmarole of the conference. And being on the board and being an officer, certainly part of it is participating in the World Service Business Conference, as Barbara alluded to. We are full participants in the conference, and it is a great honor and privilege. But the board throughout the year decides and carries out the business of the fellowship. It ensures that the office is open. It has worked for many a year to try and address the website issues. Thank you to the website committee of the conference. That was a long project. And if we were not in the 12-step world, we might have, you know, had a different process for getting it done sooner. But That's not how we do things. No one on the board, no one who is involved in service, except for a very few outside people who help us out of their love of service too, is exempt from the disease of compulsive eating. That's why we all came. So a few highlights. The board reaches out to individual intergroups. If you or, you know, if you're involved in an area and your area chair has never heard from a board member asking how's the intergroup doing in an official capacity, please call WSO. Please call the office and say, this guy said we were supposed to get contacted and for one reason or another, the process has fallen down, and it should be part of it. Another thing the board does from time to time is answer questions of the fellowship, director of the month questions, individual directors field questions that members of the fellowship pose to the board, and we work collaboratively to respond to it, and then we decide an answer collectively. Sometimes those generate policy changes, you know, where we learn things that we thought were clear weren't all that clear, and we could do a better job. The board carries the wheelbarrow. We are the main wheelbarrow pushers. You know, some people will say in meetings, oh, we don't want to hear about intergroup or general service or the business conference. We just want to stick to the literature. We want the food plan. We want the sponsor guide. We want the questions. We don't want to do all that business. Well, people doing all that business are why we have a food plan, why we have a sponsor guide. People before me, my absence date is July 2nd, 2006. That is my first and so far only absence date. People before I came worked to develop bylaws, the food plan, all of this other thing, so that I could get well, I could work on it. You know, I was taking a call from a new fellow, and he had, you know, less than 30 days and has been struggling. And he asked me, you know, when I told him how much time I had, you know, what's the secret? And I first said being a sponsor. And the second thing I said is being of service. So I followed my sponsor into an intergroup meeting at an LA meeting because I don't know, I was so out of it. You know, I had between 30 and 60 days and I just followed him there. And I kept following him, and he was one step above me all the way up till I didn't become a delegate until he had finished his service on the board and as an officer too. And then along the way, Pamela Kay of blessed memory asked me in the way that only Pamela Kay would. It's like, I'd like you to be the food co-chair at this year's convention. Oh, okay, sure. Yes, ma'am. That began my adventure. And with just a short break along the way, I've been involved in service ever since. Now, thinking about this, and I'm down to a minute, tool number six, as I read it just now, thinking about it, offers three promises. The first I see is service is abstinence. And that's to my point with the newcomer. Service gives me, ensures me abstinence. The second thing it promises, service is one way to get involved in the program. I feel involved in the program. You know, maybe I'm too involved, but I like it and it suits me. And lastly, service is freedom from bondage of self. So to Susan's and a few other people's points, I get to grow past my character defects. That's how they get relieved. And I was afraid of being wrong. So how was I removed of the fear of being wrong? I was put between my three service Jedis, one of whom was Pamela Kay, who kept telling me that I was wrong. And I kept making harmless mistakes on the board, but I was corrected and given, and not thrown away, but just schooled with what I should do. I was taking everything far too personally. Now it's just like, oops, another mistake. Oh, well, I'm alive, I guess. Anyway, I encourage my sponsees to try service at the intergroup level. Some of them run from it. You know, it's like business meetings, yuck, yuck, yuck. But somebody has to do it. If no one did it, we wouldn't be talking today. So thank you all for doing your service. I'm going on. One more little thing. So in the inverted triangle, it says meetings have ultimate responsibility. That is true. However, if meetings do not send their intergroup reps to the intergroup meeting, they have abdicated their ultimate authority, because whatever their authority, their wishes are uncommunicated to the rest of the service structure. So if you just sit there and say, we have ultimate authority and we're choosing not to do anything with that, you've abdicated. To have responsibility is to show up. So that's all I got for right now. Thanks.
Thank you, David. Our final speaker is Marty G, and she's going to speak about being a service at perhaps the upcoming SeeHow Global Convention. Thank you, Marty.
Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you for asking me to be here and talk about the convention. My name is Marty. I am a compulsive eater who is living in recovery. I have been in the program since May of 2019, been maintaining a 70-plus pound weight loss since October of 2020. But I like to point out that I am 200 pounds down from what my top weight was, over many years, but in many different ways to get there. But this is the first time in my life it's ever been maintained. And also first time in my life I ever reached a goal weight that was set by my doctor, not set by me. So those are miracles in the program. Thank you, all the other speakers before me talking about the different levels of service. And I just want to quickly say that, when I first came to program in 2019, I had no clue about all these levels of service. I only knew about the meeting. And I did hear the word intergroup at the meetings. I heard of that, but I never heard about areas or world service. Those other things just didn't come up in the meetings. And I wish I had, eventually I got it. It took a few years to learn all the different levels of service that are available and all the things that it takes to keep our program running. But the convention is what I'm here to talk about today. And in my personal opinion, the convention is the celebration and the fun of all of these other levels of service and all these other levels of our program. We all get to come together at the convention to continue to grow and to meet with each other, et cetera. So I'm just going to read. Everybody's been having something good to read. I have a little clip from the guidelines for the convention chair. And it says the convention chair works with the World Service Board liaisons, plans, oversees, organizes, and coordinates all convention committees. So I'm going to go back to that piece in a moment. But to answer the question of what does service at the convention level bring to the fellowship? That's so, again, the celebration, the fun, more learning and growth. And it provides that opportunity, an annual opportunity. We have them annually with very rare exceptions. So that opportunity for our members from all around the world, everyone is invited to come to this convention and we get to gather in one place and we get to see each other face to face. We get to connect with each other. And I've heard others use that word connection. That's so important for those of us who have addictions. And we want to, talk to people who know what it's like. What's it like to change your life? And what's it like to not change your life and let it stay the same too? And we do that through stories. At the convention level, we're going to hear stories in workshops. We're going to hear stories from speakers, from keynote speakers. And I think even more importantly is the stories that we're going to hear when we make those individual connections, when we're networking. We're going to see somebody smile, walk up and say hi. We're going to look at their name badge. We're going to see where they're from. Oh, I have an aunt that lives in that city. And you can start connecting with each other on some kind of level like that. You'll walk away with a lot of phone numbers of people that you can make your outreach calls with, and you will have met them and you will have connected face to face, and it will make those outreach calls that much more meaningful. I do want to talk about the convention committees. I counted on the roster of the planning committee. We have 31 people serving on the planning committee for the convention for this year. And we could still use a few more. There are a few committees that still don't have chairs. So we could potentially have, 35, 40 people working on planning. And my point about that is each of those committee chairs are working diligently to do things like find people who are willing to put on workshops, to find those keynote speakers, to create lovely, colorful flyers for marketing, to create our decorations. So there's just many different things that these committees are doing. And the part I want to point out about the duties of the chair is to coordinate all of that work, to make all of that work come together. So the chair is not doing anything alone. It's just a matter of somebody just being there to coordinate all the work that's done and bring it all together. And it comes together like a puzzle. There's all these pieces of the puzzle. And so the chair gets to help bring all of that together, and it enhances recovery for all of us. All of us that are serving on the planning committee, but all of those who are attending the convention, and then even all of those who are not at the convention but may hear about it and plant the seed for them to be there for the next year. I just want to acknowledge that there's so much work that goes into it, which means there's so many opportunities for many people to be of service. If you are looking for something, and it's about 6 months of planning that goes into it. Also, if you're not already registered, it's not too late. You can go to seehow.org and you can still register. I want to spend just the last few minutes talking about what service means to me personally, serving and in particular serving on as the convention chair. It gives me a sense of obligation and duty and a commitment that I have made to others. And with that obligation, commitment, et cetera, it gives me motivation to stay abstinent. Some of you may not know, it's really a 3-year commitment to serve as a convention chair. You start as the co-chair, and then you're the chair, and then the next year you're the advisor. So that's almost like having 3 years of promised abstinence, if I stay really committed. And lastly, I want to end with my own personal story of how it did save my abstinence. So just before I was asked to be the co-chair, I was getting ready to retire from work, and I was going to celebrate my retirement. I live in Northern California. Been my dream forever to go to New York City. Never been to New York City, so that I'm planning this dream trip to New York City. And I tell you, the debate was going on in my mind: am I going to eat when I'm there? Well, I'm going to eat. But what am I going to eat when I'm there? Am I going to partake in some of the things that we hear about from New York, that New York City is famous for? And just a few weeks before my retirement, I get a phone call and I'm asked to be the co-chair. And my face would just lit up and I said, God saved me. This is a God thing. Yes, I will do it. Because it meant I was going to go to New York City and I was going to be abstinent. If I wasn't, I couldn't provide that service to this organization that has, as I said earlier, just brought so many miracles to me personally in my life. So I ever so grateful for the God moments that I get in my life. And that one was huge when I was asked to take on this role. I'm grateful for every little bit of service that is provided in our organization. And the one that I like to point out from our sixth tool, service is one way to get involved. Let's see. Oh, here's my favorite. Not only is service putting away chairs when necessary, picking up after the meeting, but it's also being quiet when a member is sharing. That is service. We can all do that piece of service, and it can enhance our own recovery and those of our fellows. So I want to point out that it goes to that simple level of being quiet when a member is sharing, all the way up to serving on the board and being one of our executive officers on the board. It runs the gamut. Take advantage of all of those opportunities.
Thank you so much, Marty. That's the end of our speakers, the 10-minute speaker times. But now it's an opportunity for all the rest of us. Yes. Hooray. Thanks, Anna. To make comments about your experience with being of service or ask questions of the speakers about issues that maybe you heard about or they didn't quite, you know, delve into and you'd like a little more depth. Please give generously. Our fellowship counts on each of us to be of service through the seventh tradition. As was mentioned, the upgrade of our website, which was long overdue, the board set aside, I think it was $15,000, and I think we spent most of it, and that's a nice chunk of money. Donations have gone way down since the pandemic. You don't have a basket or a hat floating right in front of your face when you're in, you know, when you're online or on the phone. And we need everybody to step up and be at service at that level. So for attending today's workshop, please take advantage of this information and make a donation. So now we have 20 minutes set aside for participants to ask questions or speak about their thoughts about being of service. And I see Marcia D.
See? This is Marcia D. I live in Seattle. I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. I came into to CA Hall in 2011. I became an intergroup rep when we only needed 2 months of back-to-back. I've been an intergroup rep ever since. I'm currently lead meetings. I'm an intergroup rep. I have served on the executive board as a vice chair and chair for the phone bridge. And I have been a delegate. In 2019, as the first time I went to be a delegate, it was an amazing week. It was just before the pandemic, and I'd never been a delegate before, and it was amazing. We had 19, a lot of you were there. We had 19 motions on the floor. As chair, I would get questions and stuff. Where are the 12 concepts? We're supposed to know the 12 concepts. Where is the document that says 12 concepts? And I was like, okay. And it was brought, said, well, it's the 12 concepts and we use the AA model. I'm like, so where's that? So I asked Pamela one time, I called her and I said, hi, Pamela. And she's like, hi, Marcia. I said, I keep getting this question of where's the document that has the list of the 12 concepts? And so when we got the service manual in 2019, on that page, on page 13, it lists 5 concepts, but nowhere does it list the 12 concepts. So we have a motion on the floor that when we do a reprinting, that will be on page 12. But it's been very, very interesting. And I love being of service. And still doing service on the run. Don't always know what I'm doing, but I also know that there's people that help. So thank you, everyone, for your speaking. And thank you, everyone.
Hi, I'm Adele Compulsive Eater. Thank you so much, Susan, and everybody that participated. I remember when I got asked to be a delegate, it was like, no. And something told me to go in early on Friday and just listen to the conference and see if that's a good fit for me and could I do it. And I went and I listened. It's like, oh, I could do that. And so I've been involved pretty much as a delegate. And right now I'm a board of director. I'm serving my last year as of next month, I'll serve two-year terms. And it helped enhance my program. So, and I have served that, you know, starting a meeting and convention chair and, different areas. And it have helped so much. So be of service. And if you have face-to-face meeting in your area, please support them because they disappear in one by one because they're not getting enough support. And I know Zoom is awesome, because we get a chance to meet people from all over the world, but face-to-face, you know, you can get those hugs and you can, you know, socialize and go out to lunch and, you know, hang out with them if they live in your area and stuff. So you know, be of service that way too, to, you know, support the face-to-face need. Thank you so much, everybody, for being part of my recovery.
Thank you, Adele. Susan C.
Hi, this is Susan C., compulsive eater. Hi, everybody. Thank you all. Thanks to all the speakers and the people who did service at today's workshop. You know, everyone, timers and organizers and tech people. I wish I was going to be at the convention this time around. I'm really excited for those of you that will be there and the delegates that will be there before for the business conference and also for the board that's there. My question is addressed to both Jude and to David. If somebody can help me out, I know we all have our own personalities, our own unique ways of, you know, attracting. But when there's a lot, when there's lots of people that are not stepping up for service, how do you find the ways? What has been your most successive way of, you know, we don't have Pamela Kay, we do have other people similar, but what do you do to motivate people in a nice way? I'm really good at laying guilt, but guilt is not a good recovery tool. So for Jude or for and or David, please.
Can I jump in first, David? Yeah, thanks. And thank you. So lovely to see you, Susan. And thank you for your question, because it's a really important one. And I think I take my lead from Pamela Kay here. You know, when as the slipping person, aged just 5 months in program, I was all excited about starting a meeting, she just greeted me on a personal level. And what I've discovered in the UK and Europe, as well as with work in at World Service level, is the personal connection. You know, I made a point when we set up, when I was chair of Intergroup, to really get to know all the people within my Intergroup. Now, in larger Intergroups, that's not possible, but really getting to know people so that on a one-to-one level, I could start getting to know where their skills were and really having that conversation about starting to set up the idea of doing service at Intergroup at area and delegate level. So that for me has been the most crucial bit, really personal connection. And certainly for me, the personal example of working with other people. So that is fine. And gratitude. Just grateful to be alive, grateful to be abstinent, grateful to be here. Yeah. And I'll hand over to you, David. Thank you, Susan.
Thanks, Jude. So don't underestimate the power of guilt. It can be used for good as well. I have sponsored a couple of people and still sponsor a couple of people who've been chairs of the board in the past. I asked some fellows more than, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, to be delegates at the business conference. And I got the deer in the headlight, you know, look like, oh, I couldn't possibly do that. And these were people with much more recovery time-wise than I, and they looked very attractive. You know, their recoveries were very attractive, but they just refused. And then I said, well, how about convention chair? So that's, and they said yes to that. So sometimes a backup plan is good. You know, if you have an alternative thing in your back pocket, it's good to get people involved in service, even if they are afraid of doing what is really needed right away. Also, by doing, you know, doing service ourselves. And just, you know, giving the sponsor hairy eyeball, you know, if it's like, how grateful are you? You've said you were very grateful, but grateful enough to take a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's and then ask, you know, ask the sponsee, what are your, if they haven't shared what their commitments are, what are they? You know, are your meetings going to continue if you don't participate in service? So that's my two cents.
Thank you. Question? Somebody else want to talk about their own experience of being a service? It's Judy.
I wanted to just share how I got into service was always the back door. Someone would be kicking me. And it wasn't so much guilt as I had a victim mentality. It would be someone who would say to me, you know what? I think you'd be great at this. Or when I became the chair of the area, someone said to me, you know, higher power gave me your name. I mean, how can you turn that down? And every service position I had, I never thought I could do. But people would help me. And that's what I like to share with other people. When I was chair of the area, I would say to people, I see this in you. I think as addicts, we none of us feel confident enough. So if I see a quality, as David was saying, in someone, I name it and I tell them, I think you'd be great at this. And most of the time, people do respond. And when they do a great job. I know I've grown so much because I went from the chair of the area and then I became a delegate. And being a delegate and being on committees taught me so much. I always had a problem with control and I had to let that go and just trust higher power. I want to say I love the way the business meetings are run. If there's a conflict, people stop and they say the serenity prayer. I mean, I don't know about your family, but that never happened in my family. I loved seeing that. So service definitely has kept me slim and abstinent in all these years. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Judy. And the final, I don't know if Suzanne has the question or she's going to be interpreting, translating.
I have a question from the Spanish community. Adelante. Good morning, everyone. Yep. See, I'm Carmelita. Only, just tell everyone. I've been in program and doing service for a long time. When I came into HAL, I said, I'll be the coffee person. I'm obligated to go to the meeting. I saw it as an obligation in that moment. And after that, I had a lot of beautiful moments. And little by little, and then after that, little by little, I became intergroup rep and then secretary, leading meetings. It was a process. And then delegate, primary attend. I've been a delegate for Area 10 for a few years. Last year, I had the opportunity to be elected to be on the board of directors. And to be honest, it's been very gratifying, the job that I'm doing. I invite everyone to be of service. Service is freedom from bondage of self. Yes, Acapulco Temple. Thank you. And that was Carmelita, everybody. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Carmelita. Thank you, Suzanne. Penny will one last time share her screen that shows you ways that you can give to World Service for today's workshop. We give generously. For those who are listening to the audio of this workshop, you can go to ceahow.org, and right at the top, there is Make a Contribution, and these same things will be available for you to make a contribution for getting to listen to the audio. So I want to thank everybody who's been here today, the speakers, the tech support, Penny for the lead tech, the timers, and you who came to listen and share. Please continue to talk amongst yourselves with your sponsees about the challenges as well as the joys and the gifts of being of service. And let's come back next year and have another workshop, and maybe even at the intergroup, the meeting, or the area level, create a workshop for Service Month in June of next year.